Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 361. I am Steve Borsch, and I am on with Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
And Phil Wilson.
Hello.
Don't go outside. It's smoky.
It is smoky. Oh, my gosh. Walking the dog this morning, my wife just, as soon as she stepped out, she sent me a text message saying, it smells like a bonfire out here.
Now, how far is Alberta from where we live? It's got to be hundreds of miles.
Oh, it definitely is. But this smoke is coming some from there. But also there's a huge grass fire up by Lake Hattie, which is about an hour and a half northwest, couple hours northwest of us. And so there's a beeline of smoke coming from that directly into the Twin Cities.
Well, no open burn today, boys and girls.
No, and I was thinking about, I was thinking about burning some leaves that I have left over from, I'm kidding.
Nope. Yeah. Just don't do it, Steve.
Yeah, they're saying, well, air quality's bad. Maybe it'll be better by the afternoon.
So it's moderate today, according to the government.
Yeah.
We have air quality that is moderate.
Yeah. Well, hey, Phil, I am really curious about...
wait a minute. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Air quality index, very unhealthy. Sorry about that.
I'm sure people are going to listen to this to get the weather. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
No,
I guess it is the weather.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, Mr. Filson.
Yes, sir.
About Technovation, about how it went and what happened.
The Technovation Appapalooza was last Sunday. Boy. You know, I'm always amazed because at the end of 12 weeks, sometimes 13 or 14 weeks, depending on when the teams get started, it's so great to see all of these teams, and we had some 50 of them that participated. Again, Technovation MN is inspiring young women, girls to code. So we have middle school teams and high school teams. And we had 50 teams this year, which is about double what we had last year. And they 100% finished, went through the 12-week challenge and, ideated, created, built, and marketed an app. And it was really great to see. They actually, one of the...
app? I mean, a working app?
Yeah, a real working app. It's coded in... most of the apps are coded in... App Inventor, which is an MIT language. It's very easy, drag and drop type language. Yep. It was really great to see. And one of the representatives from Technovation Global, that's a global organization that puts on this challenge, said, we are the only region in the world that got 100% of people completing it. So it was really great to see.
That's pretty cool. Well, I got to tell you, this NPR news article about 50 teams compete in coding contest for girls has a photo of Rochester middle schoolers. And I got to tell you, when you look at these smiling faces, you think, it makes me optimistic for the future.
Yeah.
Especially of technology. I mean, if you really have energy, effort, and enthusiasm involved in the next wave of digital technology, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, we had Rochester. We recently expanded into Rochester last year, and they did very well last year, and they did well again this year in the challenge. If you were interested at all in a sneak peek or a peek at some of the presentations, we'll have two or three of them at Mobile Twin Cities coming up on Tuesday night at BuzzFeed. So two or three are going to come do their pitches, so you can see what it's like. So, but it was great.
Yep. Well, on another note,
yes.
Especially because we have so many smart things engineers here in the Twin Cities, I was very dismayed when I saw that article. And Phil, you've got smart things, so Tim is probably smiling gleefully that he doesn't. But researchers at the University of Michigan have uncovered multiple design flaws in Samsung's SmartThings platform that could allow a malicious app to unlock doors, set home access codes, falsely set off smoke alarms, et cetera, et cetera. And so I was reading this article and going, oh my God, seriously?
Yeah.
And then I got down into it, and apparently SmartThings, according to Alex Hawkinson, the CEO, they've been working with the researchers, and they've already plugged a bunch of these holes, and they've changed their developer documentation and practices and so forth. And yet we still don't really know if this stuff is all closed yet.
But of course, you know, I can't remember. Do they force updates out to your hub? I can't remember. Or do you have to accept?
No, they force them.
They force them.
They force it. Yeah. Well, in fact, they're going to have an update on Monday at 11 a.m. And that'll be one of the force updates.
Yeah.
Does this make you kind of pause and think about, you know, whether it's a good idea to have this?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Well, and there's also a, apparently somebody that works in marketing in Apple's HomeKit area, was either answering a questions or was on Reddit or I don't know what. I'll have to find the article, but, there's a new HomeKit app that'll be part of the next iOS release. And, I'm assuming that Apple's going to get in the game. But you know, with smart things, I was originally disconcerted that every time there was an event or a trigger or something, that it went up to the SmartThings server and there was a log file of everything. You know, every time the lights turned on, every time I walked by a motion sensor, you know, presence. So if somebody could hack into it and see, oh, Steve's iPhone just left, you know, I wonder if anyone's home, you know? So if you have everyone's iPhone connected and everyone leaves, now, you know, the house is empty.
Well, that would be a great hack, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right.
Steve hasn't left, but his iPhone has.
Right. Well, it occasionally does it, you know, the artificial intelligence, it just leaves. But anyway, so that was a little disconcerting.
Well, I know that your home is far smarter than mine, Steve, in so many different ways. But, I have two devices hooked up to my smart things. One is a light and one is a sensor on the garage door. So it's, you know, if they hack into mine, it's going to be very disappointing for them, but it's interesting.
Well, you know, there's a, I have a garage door opener from Chamberlain and it connects up to my Wi-Fi. And so, you know, you'd have to be able to crack into my Wi-Fi to get into it, but I don't know if there's other ways to get into it. I really haven't read much on it.
Yeah.
And so if somebody could open up my my garage door, that'd be...
That would be bad.
That would be not good.
No. On a brighter note...
Yes.
So this article I actually saw on Facebook because my daughter Liz, who works at Best Buy in HR... posted it and she went, yay. At Best Buy, women now make up a majority of the company's leadership team.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, the scales were tipped, right? When they hired Accenture exec Trish Walker to lead the Geek Squad.
Right.
Are there any other major corporations that have the majority of senior leadership as women?
Tim, you would probably know since you keep a good pulse on the retail space. I would think that this is not necessarily unusual for retail, but I'm not sure. Tim, do you know?
That they have more women in leadership positions?
Yeah.
Slightly, yeah, but yeah. Not as much as you would imagine.
Right.
Especially at the very top of the organization. Like in the CEO chair, there's not as many women CEOs as you would expect in a business where you have overall, you know, like people on the floor are you know, mostly women.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if I would expect, I should expect, but I don't know if I would expect to see more women in leadership roles. But
It does say at the bottom of this article that women now make up about 36% of Target's board and 45% of its C-suite.
Yeah.
So. Remember that Jolie came out of hospitality. He was at Carlson, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So hospitality, another industry which has a high degree of, you know, prevalence of women in the workforce. And there you find in the C-suite, you see a lot of women. So it may just be, you know, people that he knows, that he trusts, that he's bringing in from other places, you know,
I'm glad it happens. It's happening.
And yeah, no, it's good.
It's great that it's happening. I guess I just, I always hope to, I would love to get to that point where it's, you know, you walk into a firm and it's not, you know, filled with white men. So,
well, you look at Best Buy.
You always expect that, you know, especially in Minnesota.
I mean, the Best Buy, the transformation is really stunning because, you know, it started out to be, it was a stereo place and it was all guys.
All guys. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, several years ago, there was a major retirement event and a lot of those guys left. And then, of course, you know, you had the CEO forced out and all of that stuff closer in. Mm-hmm. And when Jolie came in, you know, he's brought a lot of new ideas and a lot of new strategies, and it apparently is paying off.
Yeah.
So, well,
bravo.
You know,
bravo.
What was interesting was, you know, when Angela Ahrens came from Burberry to run the Apple stores, my wife thought this was just a great move, that she's a strong retailer and really understands visual merchandising well and so on. So on Tuesday, I went and had lunch with Doug Olson, if you remember Doug from Microsoft, mm-hmm. and days, and walked over to the Apple store after lunch and looking in. I mean, the tables were bare. You know, they like had all these spots for, you know, a single phone, and there was no display in the windows. And I walked in and the accessories have been brought down to an absolute bare minimum. I mean, they hardly carry any, especially third-party accessories. And it sort of took me aback a bit. It just seemed very, very Spartan. And I thought, what's her strategy? And Michelle said, well, you know, that was her thing at Burberry, is a minimalistic strategy so that you only focus on their goods when you walk in the door. And I thought, well, okay, so who knows because I thought she would, you know, bring a just a different touch to the Apple stores. And so I guess having women on board necessarily isn't a panacea, mm-hmm. you know, in terms
of. I think she was hired long term to be CEO at some point.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. So I think she's Tim Cook's replacement when the time comes.
Interesting.
That would be interesting.
Huh. Yep.
Well, so our pals at Coco, what are they up to these days?
Well, they're expanding. They're on their way to total global domination.
So they're heading to Chicago.
At least Illinois. I don't know.
Have you seen any photos of the new location in Chicago?
No, I haven't. I guess I haven't looked. Well, yeah, I think there is one on their blog.
They're out in the West Loop. They've got a building out in the West Loop, so they're quite a ways from downtown.
Well, supposedly it's a growing tech sector.
Okay.
According to at least some of the articles I've read, it's a burgeoning, what do they call it? West of downtown Chicago, a couple of, the co-working space in a growing tech cluster.
Got it.
That's, and it's probably less expensive too. So,
well, I'll put a link in the show notes to the blog post that shows that photo. It's a cool looking space.
Yeah. It's not unlike what they've got here. And, I guess, from what I see, they've had a relationship, an ally. They've been an ally and worked together on things. So just kind of works out, I guess, for them. So,
one thing that wasn't clear is if you're a member here of Coco, can you go to Chicago and work out of that location, or is it just the local locations where you can go?
No, I would imagine you could. You know, they have also had they ally with a lot of co-working spaces that allow you to, you know, where in other cities that you can
have exchange.
You can. Religion. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was one of the highlights of the membership. So, and I know a lot of people that took that opportunity.
Okay,
they'd go out to Seattle and use the space. So,
that's very cool. I really wish I could do that. You know, I had talked about it, right, about going out there and doing it in January. Talked about it last year, and starting it. But I have so much proprietary stuff that I can't have anyone else see or have access to. Pardon me. I need a lot of bandwidth. And what about a gigantic display? I mean, I've got my 27-inch iMac, and now I'm going to buy a Dell monitor display that rivals the IMAX display, the 5K display. And so I'll have two displays, and I can't, you know, what am I going to do? Pack them up every morning and take them down there?
Well, you can't take your air-gapped mainframe either. So.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
that's
true.
A problem.
And you know what? It'd be tough to because I got tinfoil all over the inside of my office. And so.
Right, yeah.
Not really. I'm teasing.
Your mainframe. Yeah. Yeah. I could just see rolling it in. Where do I put this? So.
Well, you can get good deals on them these days.
I would imagine so. I would imagine.
They use a little bit of energy, though.
Say, speaking of which, this is a real tangent. I'm sorry, but IBM has their new quantum processor. Speaking of mainframes,
they call it Quantum Leap.
No, but you can actually rent time on their new quantum chip.
Okay.
And oh, yeah?
So what do you do with that?
Well, they have a 5-qubit quantum computer, and you can apply through IBM Research's website if you want to start playing with it and start, compiling apps that can take advantage of quantum computing. And all I could think about was, somebody's going to apply and say, we want to try this new password cracker, and write
something. Sure they'll probably have something in the terms and conditions. You can't, you can't use it for
illegal activities. Right.
Right. Right. But I bet it plays Zork really, really fast.
I would bet it would. Yeah. Or chess. Mm-hmm. Anyway, on a more serious note, what's going on with our friends at Beta MN?
Well, they've got another showcase coming up. What is it? The 14th? It's in our events. 18th at Worrell Design or World. I'm not really sure how it's pronounced, but have some. There's a list now on beta.mn with all the participants in the showcase this year. So I'm just trying to think. A few of them are companies that we've talked about. Like Alchemy and Look is going to be there. That apparel site, and I'm trying to think. My Bar Jar is also there, and I'm trying to think if that's the startup that Gary, formerly of Best Buy,
calling together.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sure. I can't remember.
But there's several.
Anyway, there's some good stuff there. So.
Well, there's several that I haven't even seen before, like Token of Trust.
Yeah.
Smart Tools for Safety. It's a protection against scams, fraud, and fakes. They're talking about buying and selling, online dating, renting and leasing. And I'm going to have to dig into some of these startups because some of them look kind of interesting.
This Nestlepax looks very interesting as well. Coded here is the first backpack designed for children on the autism spectrum to help these kids thrive at school.
Oh, nice.
I think that really looks...
NESLPACKS.com, Nestlepacks.com.
I thought you'd be into Comet Cartel, Phil.
No, I'm not not really, no.
No?
I'm sorry. Is that bad?
Ever since Comic Twit went away, you're just bitter.
I'm bitter at the comic world.
I think you should bring it back. For those that don't know, Phil used to run something called comictwit.com, and I had a little PHP app.
I was far too far ahead of my time.
That's
doesn't
right.
Mean it can, still own it, so it doesn't mean it can go away.
Well, yeah, I own it, but it was tied to Twitter, recall. So, and Twitter took mysteriously, my Twitter handle got consumed for lack of use, or I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
Anyway,
not that you're bitter.
Not at all. These bastards. But so, yeah, check it out. That's always a good event. It's a very casual event where you can get to kind of stroll around from. It's like a big science fair sort of thing with drinks and take a look around at the showcase. So,
yep, absolutely. And then,
did you guys see that Gillette Children's Hospital launched an emojis app for kids with special needs? That was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are we reverting back to like the old pictograph days? You know, like back in Egypt where they had
we're gonna move
the picture writing kind of thing.
Yeah, we're gonna move to a glyph sort of
glyph. That's a hydroglyph. Yeah,
a hydroglyph. So,
well, you know what?
They'll
though,
be cute little pictures.
Yeah. I'm gonna start putting them on my wall right now. As a matter of fact.
Well, and some of the emojis are wheelchairs and skiing on a wheelchair with a ski on it and all that kind of stuff. But it does help in terms of, saying something about yourself, for example, or where you are, because there's one for speech therapy and music therapy and so on. And I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. So,
notice they have a building that has the Gillette logo on it, too. Got to get your brand in there.
Wait, I didn't see that. Oh, yeah. Jeez, come on, you got okay.
Well, you got to.
Yeah, I know.
You got to brand your
little
stuff.
Promotion. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I bet you, Tim, you put this next one in about air jams.
Yeah, I just wanted to put since this was my cool thing of the week a few weeks ago.
They made it.
That they had passed their $30,000 goal.
Yep.
And there's still 11 days to go.
$33,000 right now, yeah.
Right, and you can buy them for $45 now. But it looks like this is going to be a hit.
Well, I wonder how
500 backers.
Do they have any timeline? I'm always curious about the timeline.
It doesn't really say, does it? Usually they have like a thing at the bottom, but no, it doesn't look like. These look like they're ready for production kind of deals. Yeah. They've made a bunch of samples, so I would imagine that. Here we go. So it looks like you get them in August.
Well, that's not too bad. So in reality, you'll get them in February.
Okay.
I don't know. Again,
they started this adventure back in June of last year. So,
Well, we got, I know Steve and I are both waiting for InstaMics. So,
well, did you get your email just the other day?
Yeah, it's been kicked back again.
So. InstaMic. Yep.
InstaMic is a little high quality microphone that you can then place near your subject or subjects that are where you want to pick up audio while you're shooting them with your iPhone or iPad or smartphone.
You're not tied to having the
camera
mic on the camera, which always makes for a really crappy audio experience. Yeah.
Well, and that's the one thing. I mean, the good audio makes good video, because the video can look great, but if you can't really understand what people are saying, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Man, these things are pricey. Holy crap. $150?
For the InstaMic?
Yeah.
Well, if they actually do what the video said they would do, it's going to be a deal.
Yeah. That's always the question.
The question. I have been so disappointed in so many of these small, cheap microphones that I just hope I'm not disappointed. Because I bought a new Mikey. Remember that Mikey, Tim?
I still have it. Plug
in the bottom of your
iDevice.
Well, there was a new one that worked great with the Lightning connector, and it just simply doesn't function very well. It just isn't that great. Now I've got two others on order. I've got a couple of little shotgun mics, a Rode and another brand I can't remember. And so they'll be here this week. Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm trying some new ones. Anyway.
You're so hip.
Thanks. Are there any hip stories and other tech stories?
Well, it looks like you put in some scary stuff here about the Supreme Court.
I did.
Yes, you did.
Be afraid.
Be very afraid. Be very afraid of the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Get on the FBI. Get on the tinfoil hat and go for it. Let us tell us all about it.
Okay, so the Supreme Court granted the FBI a massive expansion of their powers to hack computers. And it's not just computers, it's digital devices. And so basically any court can say, here you go. You need a warrant for that? Sure, here you go. Just hand them a warrant. So, I mean, it's going to be really expanded dramatically in terms of their ability to go in and show probable cause.
They do all this stuff on the down low now?
Sure.
you know. So,
well, according to Edward Snowden,
is it really that much of a change?
Yeah, according to Edward Snowden, they were able to, you know, just search against the database of all collected calls and text messages and emails and everything, and you know, log into anybody's device that they could get access to. And so it's been going on for a long time. And then when they get caught, then of course, then that's when the crackdown comes. So anyway, so this was very, very disconcerting. And then on top of it was another one about a former Tor developer, the Onion router. You know, there's the Tor browser that hides your activities, even though I don't really believe that it does it very well. But this guy created malware for the FBI to hack Tor users.
A good night's sleep is essential.
Yep. So
sorry about that. I pulled up
Tor,
a page.
Tor is probably not the safest place to go.
Well, you know, it was
technology to use since it looks like it's compromised by the government.
It potentially is compromised by the government.
Yeah.
This guy created something called Vidalia, and a Vidalia was a little app that allowed you to very easily get on Tor and do all kinds of things. Well, that's all baked into Tor Core now. And so they didn't need Vidalia, and they basically said goodbye to this guy in 2013, and he's been working for the FBI now. And see, I got to believe that, you know, this is why a lot of security people talk about air-gap computers, because they want devices that have never been connected to the internet, and that they can keep isolated for, you know, sticking thumb drives in and looking at things on thumb drives. Because if something gets installed on that air gap computer, then it'll never phone home because it can't. It's not connected. Yep. And so it's scary. Well, okay, so here's one more scary thing. If you use Gmail, Hotmail, or Yahoo Mail, go change your password. And in fact, did you? Well, in fact, if you can, use two-step verification, please. I'm begging. Yep. I'm begging everybody. And
don't beg. It's just
real. Those Russian hackers.
Well, and so I had maybe I talked about this last week about a client that had a super simple password for their Google apps.
Password 123.
It was just about as bad for their super admin account. And I said,
is that not good?
You need to understand that if somebody hacks that and gets it, they can then go in and change every one of your partners' passwords and then have access to all of their emails and everything that happens within their email account. So they can, if they're using it for banking, they can go in and ask for the password reset at their bank, and it comes into that email, and they've got access to the email, so they change the password at the bank and then move money out or, you know, whatever. And it's scary stuff. And so so there it is. So if you are on Gmail, Hotmail, Yahoo, please do it now.
Change your passwords.
Yes.
And don't use super secret 123.
I always love hearing Steve beg. That's great. So
please change.
Well, wait till you hear my cool thing, and then you'll. We'll talk about this just a hair more. But
okay.
All right. Let's get off this depressing stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Who
moved to Apple and the collapse of Apple Music? No, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Do you guys are you guys? Do you have Apple Music subscriptions?
Nope. No, nope. I tried it.
I did, you know, too, and I didn't.
It was free for a while, so I tried it. I don't know. It didn't stick.
Didn't stick for me either.
No, Phil? You know, I have Amazon Prime, and you get the Prime Music, which is, you know, similar. And they kind of throw it in with that. So, you know, that's sort of the one that I've been using is the Amazon one.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got Spotify and Amazon Prime, and I just saw absolutely no reason for Apple Music.
So, well, it just came out with a new student membership, which includes a 50% discount, so $4.99 a month. And
save it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, if they can get people on the system, that's the big deal, right?
I think the problem is that Spotify is so sticky because if you're big into playlists, it's like a roach motel. It's, you know, it's easy to get in, but it's hard to get out.
Yeah.
You have to recreate all those things. And that's just a major pain in the butt. Yeah. So
why
move? You know, there's some dollars and cents reasons why a student may want to do this, but I would bet that most students probably have a Spotify account right now.
Yeah.
And they've set up gajillions of these playlists, and they don't have any intention to leave.
Well, and I have Pandora subscription, and I play it. You know, when Michelle and I are reading in the family room, I'll just turn on Pandora on the Apple TV, and we'll just listen to that. And
or your Zen playlist, right?
Yeah, I do have a Zen playlist actually, and I have an ambient playlist. And
oh my gosh, do you have a list that says ambient?
It does. Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a Brian Eno airport music playlist?
I do not, but I have I have, of course, about 6 different blues playlists and 4 or 5 jazz and just all kinds of stuff. I even have some country. I mean,
oh, there you go.
Wow. Boy, you're really
a little insight into what Steve Borsch.
I know.
There you go.
So what's this story about Apple not paying taxes? What is the deal with that?
Well, the headline is a bit deceiving. It's basically the mayor saying a mayor of Cupertino says is not willing to pay a dime in taxes.
What?
Yeah.
Willing to pay a dime. Yeah. So they pay taxes, but it ain't much. And it, basically this is, you know, Cupertino's mayor saying, you know, here's Apple not necessarily providing enough money, as much money as it should, to help offset infrastructure costs and things like that. So,
yeah, they apparently pay a tax rate of about 2.3%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're doing the double Irish, which is a nice way to hide money.
The double Irish.
Right.
The double Irish. Yeah. You didn't see the double Irish?
I thought that was some sort of sexual position. I didn't realize that was
actually, I thought that was kind of a, you know, culturally racist sort of thing.
No,
not racist.
The double Irish, boiled by the double Irish.
Well, I'll tell you what, you laugh, but my dad talks about those Italians and those Swedes when he was alive.
Damn Swedes!
Because my grandmother was a Fitzgerald. She was full blooded Irish. The whole Fitzgerald side, you know, they're like 9 cousins and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so they were always hanging around doing stuff with the Fitzgeralds, and they were Catholic. Both sides, both the Borsch and the Fitzgerald side were Catholic. And my dad talks about how so many people looked down their noses at the Catholics and at the Irish. And it was tough to be Irish back in, you know, the 30s and 40s, and even in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And you look at that now, and it's just, you know, I just laugh. But
we deviate from the story about Apple.
We did, didn't we? Yeah, but you're the one who did. Wait a minute.
Now insulted various cultures.
Yeah, but you're the one who did the double Irish. You're the one who. Wait, what's the double Irish?
I was pointing out there's a tax avoidance scheme called double Irish. Which involves putting money into Ireland apparently twice.
Oh, God. Okay, got it.
I didn't defame the
that's totally not true.
You know, I just got a kick out of the name. It's the double Irish.
Well, for everyone listening, just know that Phil has several boxes of Lucky Charms in his pantry.
They are magically delicious. After All right. Speaking of that, what is your cool thing of the week, Phil?
Yeah.
Why do you ask?
Because this is a cool thing of the week segment.
There it is.
We're segueing right into this perch deal.
Well, this is something we're looking at for the office for BuzzFeed. We're kind of curious about the concept of linking all the offices full time with a video portal of some kind.
Purchase
one of those portals. It's always on. There's always a presence. So, you know, you walk by and you'll see what's going on in the New York office, and in New York they walk by and they see what's going on in the BuzzFeed office. We're trying it on the tech side. Perch seems to be the way to go. So we started setting it up and on one of their trials, and they're in the midst of moving all their stuff to new servers. So it didn't work.
Okay. Nice.
It didn't work yet. It's like a couple of days away, but I found it interesting just doing some research on these types of things available. And this was kind of interesting. And again, I don't know what it's going to be like, if it's going to be perceived as sort of big brotherish, or it is going to be kind of a nice little thing to say, you know, hey, you know, I got a question for you, you know, type it in Slack. Why don't we just go over to the monitor and chat about it rather than opening up another video conference or something like that. So,
well, you know what's interesting about this?
At perch.co, C-O.
So two things. One is it's been proven, and Automattic does this, you know, the WordPress parent company, is they have always on connections, and they were using Skype, and I think they're on Hangouts now, but they just leave them on.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the remote developers have their main machine, and then they have a secondary device. So it might be a laptop, mm-hmm. it might be a tablet, it might be their phone, whatever. And they just have an always on connection on that second device. So that if you want to say, you know, hey, Phil, what about blah, blah, blah. You know, you can interrupt somebody it'd be like walking by their cubicle. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, what ended up happening was they wanted to figure out a way to knock so that you could knock. And so they were using chat to quote unquote knock, and they had an IRC channel running. And now with Slack adding video,
mm-hmm.
That's going to be interesting to see what happens, because I looked at this Perch and it's $25 per portal per month. So if I have one and you have one, we're in the same company, that's $50. And if Tim mm-hmm. joins, that's $75 a month. That's mm-hmm. pretty dang expensive.
Yep. It's darn expensive.
Yeah.
Not pretty dang expensive. It's dang expensive. So
yeah.
And again, you have to see what it performs like, if it really is the answer, or do you just open up a full-time Blue Jeans or a full-time Hangout,
right.
Something like that. So we'll see what happens.
Mr. Tim.
So mine is a little, it's a utility app called Quitter. It's written by Marco Arment, who does Overcast on iOS.
And great podcast apps. Yeah,
the Podcatcher. This is a simple app, and it does basically one thing, which is to either hide or quit applications after a specific period of time. And he's written it to kind of get rid of time-wasting apps, maybe a Twitter app. And I use it for TweetDeck in that way. But I also use it for all of my productivity apps, because I'll open Word up to do one specific thing, right. And then leave it running in the background.
Right.
And of course, consumes a lot of memory and resources and whatnot.
I like this.
So I just have it for that. It runs as a startup service. So I just have it running quietly in the background. And if Excel or Word or Numbers or Keynote or whatever is open, after 15 minutes, it quietly quits them for me.
Very nice.
Yeah. So it's free. And if you go to the link that's in the show notes, you can get it. And it's only for the Mac. It's called Quitter. And it does just that.
Very nice.
Very cool.
Well, my cool thing of the week is actually a little web application. It's estimating password cracking times.
Ooh.
And so it's a website. And if you go there, there's a box that says test a new password. So if I put in, let's say password 123,
yeah.
It'll say that it takes 0.29 milliseconds to crack it with tools like, there are apps you can get that allow you to do password cracking. But if you put in a real difficult password, like I usually use 15 to 20 character upper and lower case and numbers and special characters and so on and so forth. And one of my 15 character passwords that I just put in, with upper and lower case letters, it's just a jumble of stuff and numbers and special characters. The answer is infinity. So that's pretty interesting. Of course, infinity is going to change when quantum computing comes out. But you can go ahead and put in a password that's similar to one that you'd like to use.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's a password you use all the time and use for every website. And you can go in and you can see how weak it is or how good it is, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's my cool thing.
And then it records that, and then they use
it. Well, that's why you don't use your actual password, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you can't use your actual password.
No.
Okay.
No, so password 123 could be, Phil Wilson 123.
I really should stop sharing my password with everyone.
But it's Philson 123. Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, right. That's right.
So true.
God.
So true.
Any new events, boys?
You know, I put in the, you know, the Mobile Twin Cities is coming up and the beta MN is in there. So I don't know if there's anything new beyond that.
I don't think there's anything else. I think we've talked about all the other stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, one quick thing. How many people come to your, so you're holding it at the BuzzFeed offices in Northeast Minneapolis. How many people do you have come to that typically?
20 to 25.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a small gathering of folks. We get a lot of first timers and, you know, it's really, and it, you know, it's food. What are you going to do? Right.
Right. Right.
So we have a good time. So everybody's always welcome to come, you know, developer, non-developer. If you're interested in mobile, we love to have people come.
Tuesday, May 10th. Yeah.
Tuesday, second Tuesday of every month.
Okay.
At least
okay.
We try to do the second Tuesday of every month. All right. Anyway, that's it. So you guys have a great week, and hopefully it'll include some tech events or some sort of tech stories.
And no smoke.
And we'll talk about it next week on
the Minivate Gang Podcast.
See you then.
Take care.
Now I reach to kiss your lips. It just don't mean a thing. That's a bunch of things. It's a time of day, that's a good shot thing. Yeah, it's a dream. A good shot thing. We let our love go appreciation. But